Welcome to some amazing discussions from the voices of young America. Welcome to Women Investing in Women and Girls. In the next hour, you'll hear from leading women in academics, business, entertainment, and more. Now, here are your hosts.
Well, it's no secret that you can't stop time, but is it possible to stop your biological clock? Today we speak with our guest about how her work does just that and revolutionizes the dialogue on motherhood. Thank you and welcome to Women Investing in Women and Girls. I'm your host, Michelle Jaffe, and we are joined today by our guest, Christy Jones. And Christy, how are you doing today?
I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm doing great. Thank you. So we would just like to start the conversation off by knowing a little bit about your background.
Sure. So I guess I have a career as an entrepreneur, you could say. When I was an undergraduate at college, I teamed up with a group of fellow students and we started a software company, which back in that point in time was a little bit more unusual than it is today. We were focused on enterprise software, so software that was developed and sold to large corporations. And it took several years for us to get that company off the ground, but eventually it became very successful. And I ended up spending about 13 years in enterprise software with the first company, which was Trilogy Software. And then I spun out a second company called PC Order, which I ended up taking public, and then the company was sold. At that point in time, I was in my early 30s and was looking for my next venture, and really was looking for something I could become personally passionate about. And through a series of events and things that were happening in society and with family members, family friends, I uncovered a new science for freezing unfertilized eggs, which could really unlock the biological clock for women and give women the ability to have successful pregnancies a little bit later in life. And I really felt that this appealed to so many women of my generation that were trying to have it all. And so I decided to start Extend Fertility and bring the science of egg freezing to women seeking this as an elective option. And that is by a series of my entrepreneurial endeavors.
Yeah, it really, you have an incredible background in being an entrepreneur, and so many successes as well. And I'd love to know from you as well, what caused you to catch the entrepreneurial bug in the first place?
Well, I went to college at Stanford, so you're really surrounded in the Silicon Valley, especially today. But when I was there in the late 80s, early 90s, it still was a hotbed for entrepreneurial activity. And I recall Steve Jobs coming to campus and talking about what he'd done with Apple and what he was planning to do with his new company, which was at that time Next Computers.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just so excited about the ability to create something, and it was the thing that really energized me. And there were so many exciting technologies, and I felt that it was an opportunity that if you could invent something new or be able to identify early inventions, it would be a way to jumpstart a career very quickly, even though I was young. And so the ability to take on a lot of responsibility very quickly is what excited me about being an entrepreneur.
Love it.
And the ability to change the world. I mean, these are really exciting things happening in the technology space.
Definitely. And what you've been involved with also combines those two factors and really does change the world. And we always talk about the importance of role models, and definitely having Steve Jobs be your role model, it seems like, definitely worked out for you. He's incredibly inspiring. And just to see somebody who has had so much success and progress in technology and innovation must have had a really big impact on your life, right?
It did, and I even interned briefly for Next Computer when I was at college, and was able to see Steve up close and personal. So that was really an exciting time as well.
Definitely. So now I'd just like to shift the discussion a little bit to Extend Fertility, your company. But first of all, to ask you about egg freezing in general. So some people might not know what that is compared to IVF or other technologies out there. And especially if they're younger, maybe this isn't something that they see yet because they're not yet at that age, so that they might not know what that is. So can you explain a little bit about the difference between IVF and egg freezing and what that is?
Sure. Well, first of all, let me just maybe give background on what the need around IVF and egg freezing is. And that is that a woman's fertility is driven by egg quality, primarily driven by egg quality. And a woman's egg quality peaks when she is in her 20s and proceeds to go down from there. By the time a woman is in her mid-30s, there is an increased risk of chromosomal abnormalities and fertility problems. And each year that increases, at which point in a woman's early 40s, really it's very, very rare and difficult to become pregnant with your own eggs. So IVF was invented, it really became available about 25, 30 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a way that eggs could be taken out of a woman's body, the eggs are taken out, the eggs are fertilized in a test tube, and the embryo that results from those fertilized eggs is cultured for a few days and then put back into the woman's uterus. And so it was a way to determine, are these eggs fertilizing, and to help address fertility issues that might be a result of the eggs or, in some cases, poor sperm quality. Egg freezing is something that is new, and with egg freezing, it's really meant to address women that don't have a partner, don't even have a fertility problem, but anticipate that there might be a chance that they would be having either their first child or adding to their family in their late 30s and beyond, when conceiving becomes more difficult and also has a higher risk of having a child with chromosomal abnormalities. And so what a woman is able to do is to harvest her eggs when they're ideally at their peak, before you're in your mid-30s would be the optimal time to do it, and freeze those eggs for the future. The eggs are put into a deep freeze. There's no biologic activity happening in this deep freeze, and so they're really kept suspended until a woman might need to use them 10, 15 years down the road. And when she does, she has a much better chance of having a healthy pregnancy and a successful pregnancy because she's using those younger eggs.
Interesting. So the initial reason behind egg freezing, why it came about as opposed to IVF, was it just for women who wanted to wait to have kids, or was there a reason before that for this process?
Well, there were a couple things which originally motivated scientists to work on egg freezing. One was a ethical/religious motivation, and the other was a specific population of women undergoing cancer. So I'll talk about each of those. A lot of the early work and pioneering work in egg freezing came out of Italy. And the reason for that was that when couples were undergoing in vitro fertilization, what usually happens is that you stimulate a woman's body to produce lots of eggs, 10, 15, sometimes 20, and you fertilize all of those. And you look at the resulting embryos and pick the best couple to put back into the woman's uterus. Well, that would leave many embryos left over that were subsequently frozen. And many people were uncomfortable with the idea of freezing what was a life, a fertilized egg, and what would ultimately happen if those frozen embryos weren't utilized. And so couples that were going through IVF started to elect to only fertilize a select number of eggs and try to freeze any remaining eggs as unfertilized eggs. And so that's what really drove the initial breakthroughs in egg freezing science.
Awesome.
The first population that it was applied to, besides couples that had religious or ethical concerns with creating excess embryos, was women that were undergoing treatment for cancer. When you undergo radiation or chemotherapy, it can damage the ovaries and cause premature ovarian failure, either completely damaging the egg supply or causing women to go through menopause earlier than anticipated. And so that was the other audience that was first brought over to the United States for on an experimental basis.
Great. And we will address those differences in who is receiving these treatments as well when we come back from our break. But for right now, we are going to take a break. Once again, I'm your host, Michelle Jaffe, and you're listening to Women Investing in Women and Girls.
Join Kid Chef Eliana for Cool Kids Cook. Eliana is one of the youngest published cookbook authors and will show you that there are all kinds of goodness in food beyond the chicken nuggets and fries. On our show, we'll discover cuisine from around the world, learn some great cooking techniques, speak with some of the world's top chefs, and share recipes. Kid Chef Eliana is here for you on Cool Kids Cook every Monday at 7 p.m. Eastern Time, 4 p.m. Pacific Time on the Voice America Kids channel. Bon appetit!
We don't care how you got here. We're just glad you showed up. You're listening to Voice America Kids.
Join us every week for the Paper Hope Street Team. None of our topics are off the table. This is a program that you can listen to and discuss with your family. From the pages of the Paper Hope blog to the internet radio airwaves, we'll talk about the topics you want to talk about, such as friendship and relationships, or some more controversial issues about sex, drugs, and underage drinking. Join the Paper Hope Street Team live every Monday at 3 p.m. Eastern Time, noon Pacific Time, on the Voice America Kids channel. Let's talk soon.
You're listening to Voice America Kids. Real kids, real talk.
You are
radio.
Listening to Women Investing in Women and Girls. Be sure to join in the discussion by tweeting us at #WomenInvest or on Facebook at Women Investing in Women. We want to hear what you have to say.
Welcome
now,
back to Women Investing in Women and Girls. I'm your host, Michelle Jaffe, and we are continuing our conversation with Mrs. Christy Jones of Extend Fertility. And before we went to the break, we were talking about the types of women who have initially received the treatments of egg freezing and why it is so important. And Christy, before we went to the break, you were talking about how cancer patients actually receive these treatments. So would you like to finish up your comments on who else is receiving these treatments and how it's impacted them?
Sure. Well, when I first started doing the research around egg freezing over 10 years ago, I found a couple of programs in the United States that were offering egg freezing on an experimental basis for women undergoing treatment for cancer. And it was at that point when I decided to really push for the advancement of the science, because women that are in their mid-30s are really in just as precarious a position in terms of losing their fertility. there, especially women that may have just gone through special circumstances, like our first clients in the early years were women that may have gone through a divorce and needed some time to rebound for a few years, or women that were pursuing a new profession and were going to be in rigorous schooling for several years. So sort of extreme cases where they saw their fertility horizon and having the right partner and starting a family really wasn't going to fit in those next few years. And so for them to be able to safeguard their eggs while they're young and still producing healthy eggs was a great option for them.
Definitely. And with that being said, why don't we go ahead and shift now to your company, Extend Fertility, and talking about what exactly that your company does and the types of services that it offers.
Well, Extend Fertility is now operates an affiliate network of clinics which freeze women's unfertilized eggs. And we really function in the early years. Extend initially brought the best science to the United States, and we conducted many research trials to validate that the science was successful. And today, we really act as a good housekeeping seal of approval, so to speak, to help women find the top centers offering egg freezing and ones that have proven results. We have close to 1,000 babies born across our network, and the pregnancy rates are very similar to the pregnancy rates using fresh eggs. So it's a very exciting time for women that might be considering this option.
Right, and that's a perfect segue. When you say that it gives women options, I think option is the key word. Do all of the women necessarily use the eggs that they have frozen through your services?
Well, we're about 10 years in, and we do have several women that have come back to use their eggs and now can thank their frozen eggs for the children that they have, which is very gratifying and exciting. But you're right. Many women do not ever use their eggs. They froze them as a sort of insurance policy, and they were able to conceive naturally on their own, and they've completed their families. And some of those women choose to take their eggs off ice, and some of them just keep them there in the event that they may be used for some other purpose down the road, whether that be stem cell therapies or potentially even transferring their frozen eggs to future generations.
Right. And once again, I love how you mentioned that it's almost like an insurance policy, that it gives these women a peace of mind. Because you know that when your eggs run out, there is no reversing that. And some of these women have dreamed of being mothers since they were young. So, and I'd also like to ask you if you know the average age of a woman having their first child.
I don't know the most recent data, but I can tell you that the average age of marriage and the average age of motherhood beginning has increased over the last few decades significantly, pushing it into the late 20s, and I think early 30s, or definitely into the late 20s for both. The other interesting data point is that the number of first-time moms over 35 has exploded and over that same 20-30-year span. And if you look at the demographics of women in their 30s, about one-third of women in their 30s are single and childless. And so a third of women are have not started their families during the most optimal time to start your families. And that's just a result of more and more women entering pursuing advanced degrees, entering the workforce, and culturally, but on both women and men's side, people are getting married later.
Right. Right, definitely. I think I saw a statistic somewhere that said that that number of single women between 30 and 40 years old is somewhere around 5 million or so. So that is definitely a huge number. And like we said, to have an insurance policy like this, if you will, is just very, very important to these 5 million women. So definitely a big problem that now has a solution. When we say that people are getting married or women are getting married and having kids later, but they might not consider freezing their eggs until it might be too late. So what is the disconnect between ages of people seeking treatment and what you think the ages of people who should be seeking treatment are?
That is a very insightful and great question, Michelle. When we first started Extend, the average age of the women that were freezing their eggs was close to 38. 37 and a half to 38 years old. But what was interesting is that the average age of women that were seeking information about freezing their eggs was 34. And so there was a really big gap. I call it the gap of hope from, you know, women when they start thinking, this might be a good thing for me to do, and when they actually took action, they were hoping that they wouldn't need to freeze their eggs or hoping that the person they were dating might turn into Mr. Right and they'd start their family. So there's a lot of different variables. And so what now that the science has come along and that the science is no longer considered investigational, that there are thousands of babies born from frozen eggs with no higher incidence of problems, now that that is happening, we have seen a change, and now we are seeing many more women pursuing egg freezing at the optimal time, which is under 35. We're seeing a lot of 30, 31, 32, 33-year-olds move forward with egg freezing, which is fantastic. And their outlook on it is pretty different than the women that were in their mid-30s, late 30s when they froze. Because the women in their early 30s really are thinking, I may never need to use these eggs, but it's just really smart for me to bank them now while they're at their healthiest, and because you never know.
Right.
And versus the women in their late 30s, which really felt like it was a last chance, and it was much more of a desperate feeling, more of a negative connotation than a positive connotation. And that mindset shift and the age demographic shift that we're seeing now is I think a really good thing for egg freezing, because it's also more likely that it's going to be successful when you're freezing young.
Definitely. I think it's important for these women to consider the idea that life is unpredictable. So like you urged, to consider this treatment before it's too late, because sometimes when it's too late, then hope would be running out a little bit. So definitely, I think that's very important. And we will get back more about the progress of Extend Fertility and the progress that's been made in the country as well on this issue. But for right now, we are going to go to another break. Remember, to listeners, we want to hear from you. Go to facebook.com/womeninvesting or on Twitter, #womeninvest and #girlsinvest. So once again, we are going to go to a break. Remember to stay tuned. You're listening to Women Investing in Women and Girls.
Are you ready to explore the amazing world under the sea? Your host is a certified scuba diver, explorer. He likes to cook. And most of all, he's just a kid like you. You'll find out a lot more lies under the sea than what you've seen on TV, in movies, and even in aquatic parks. You'll learn about all kinds of fish, as well as other sea creatures. We'll take you to some exotic destinations and so much more. There's a whole big world under sea just waiting to be discovered. Tune in to Under the Sea, Wednesdays at 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific, on Voice America Kids.
Sometimes we may sound strange, but remember, we're just kids with opinions. You're listening to Voice America Kids.
There's so much going on in the tech field. The tech team is here to sort it all out so that you know exactly what you need to get and what you should avoid. In this age of cell phones and text messaging and new discoveries every single day, you need to be informed. We'll bring you previews of new products, technology news, and help you make the right decision when you are out there buying that new MP3 player, cell phone, or mobile device. Don't do a thing until you've tuned in to the tech team. Tuesdays at 5 p.m. Pacific, 8 p.m. Eastern on Voice America Kids.
Looking for an on-air community where teens talk and the world listens? Tune in to Express Yourself, an entertaining adolescent fusion radio program where passion and possibility populate the airwaves. Our vivacious teen hosts and star-studded field reporters from around the country offer stimulating segments and invigorating viewpoints connecting with the world campus of young people. We'll talk with cool celebrities, exhilarating experts, and tenacious teens with experience. Tuesdays at noon Pacific, 3 p.m. Eastern on Voice America Kids. Express yourself.
What do you want to do? Are you interested in the performing arts? If so, make sure you tune in to the Angel and Harmony Show. Angel and Harmony have experience singing, acting, and performing in general, and want to help you live out your dreams of the future. Whether you are interested in acting, modeling, dancing, or singing, this is the show for you. We'll even give you the scoop on being behind the scenes if you're a little shy. The Angel and Harmony Show is heard live every Thursday at noon Pacific, 3 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Kids channel.
We don't care how you got here. We're just glad you showed up. You're listening to Voice America Kids.
What's cooking? Join Kid Chef Eliana for Cool Kids Cook. Eliana is one of the youngest published cookbook authors and will show you that there are all kinds of goodness in food beyond the chicken nuggets and fries. On our show, we'll discover cuisine from around the world, learn some great cooking techniques, speak with some of the world's top chefs, and share recipes. Kid Chef Eliana is here for you on Cool Kids Cook every Monday at 7 p.m. Eastern Time, 4 p.m. Pacific Time on the Voice America Kids channel. Bon appetit!
Keep it right here. You're listening to Voice America Kids.
You are listening to Women Investing in Women and Girls. Be sure to join in the discussion by tweeting us at hashtag Women Invest or on Facebook at Women Investing in Women. We want to hear what you have to say. Now, back to the program.
Welcome back to Women Investing in Women and Girls. I'm your host, Michelle Jaffe, and we are continuing our conversation once again with Mrs. Christy Jones of Extend Fertility. And before we went to the break, we were talking about Extend Fertility as a company and the services that it offers and the benefit that it gives to its customers as well. And now, Christy, these treatments are not cheap. It's a new technology, and it requires a very complicated process as well. So how are these services being able to be made a little bit more available to women?
Well, the process does require an investment. It can range depending on where you're located in the country and the different overheads of those locations. It can range from $8,000 to $10,000, for the procedure, and then the medications also cost anywhere from $2,000 to $4,000. Probably the most intimidating aspect of the procedure when you first are considering it is the fact that you do have to stimulate your ovaries and trick your ovaries to produce more than one egg so that you can harvest a batch of ideally 10 to 20 eggs. And that requires administering hormones to yourself a couple times a day, and they're very small subcutaneous needles, but it does require giving yourself shots, and that can sometimes seem pretty overwhelming to women. So there's a lot that the manufacturers of the hormones have done to improve the devices that the medicine is delivered through to make it less intimidating, less making them more like a pen that sort of does the work for you, as opposed to a long needle that you're drawing up and injecting. And but that's often what I hear from women, that they're most nervous about that particular aspect. And you do that for about 10 to 12 days, and during that period you are checking in with your doctor every few days to make sure that the ovaries are responding satisfactorily to the medication. The procedure itself is actually pretty straightforward. You are under a conscious sedation, which is a light anesthesia. You are asleep, but you're not under general anesthesia. And the procedure takes about 15 minutes. After the eggs are harvested, they're harvested through the vaginal wall while you are sleeping via a small needle that extracts the eggs from the ovary and puts them into a vessel that is then used for freezing. When you're done, you basically can return to work or school or whatever you're doing the next day. You need about a day of rest just to take it easy after the anesthesia for the rest of that the day of the retrieval. But most women report minimal side effects, and after having gone through the procedure, realize it sounds more intimidating than it actually is.
Right, right. No, that's very interesting. That it really doesn't seem to be not too much pain or not too invasive. And I know that another concern for these women as well is the money issue, that it's not a cheap treatment.
Right.
But there has been an incredible incredible proceeding between Apple and Facebook that has happened. Do you mind explaining what occurred within these two companies?
Sure. Well, it was very exciting. A couple weeks ago, Facebook and Apple announced that they're adding to their list of employee benefits the coverage of egg freezing cycles, I think up to $20,000 worth. And this is fantastic news. A lot of companies with rich benefits do cover fertility treatments, adoption, and things like that, but in the past they have not wanted to expand that to elective egg freezing. There were a few companies that have been providing coverage for medical need cases for egg freezing, those cancer patients we talked about earlier, but Facebook and Apple are the first companies that I'm aware of to take the lead on elective egg freezing.
It's an incredible improvement. And what do you think this means for the future of the industry of egg freezing?
Well, I think it egg freezing has been growing quite dramatically over the last few years since it was taken off investigational a few years ago. And I think we will, with taking the price, the cost factor away at some select companies, you're just going to see a lot more women adopting this. I think it does mean significant growth, and I also think it means that women will start to take advantage of this at the right age.
Right.
The right age is when they're getting out of their graduate schools or they're still building their careers, and they may not have easy access to a $10,000 to $15,000 investment. But if companies can make that investment in their employees, then I think you'll see women freezing their eggs at the optimal time to do so.
Awesome. And once again, this is an incredible thing that happened in this industry, but I know that you've probably faced quite a number of barriers as well, especially in this industry that might be seen as a bit controversial. So what barriers do you face in promoting egg freezing, whether that be societal expectations or religious ideas or different suspicions?
Well, I think that the biggest obstacle, the obstacles have changed since when we first started to the obstacles today, but the biggest obstacle has actually been education. When I first started Extend, we put out a survey to women which asked them basic questions about to sort of assess their knowledge of their biological clock and to assess what their expectations are when they were planning to start their families. And it was shocking, the percentage of women with advanced degrees that did not think fertility declined until they were in their mid-40s. And they thought that they were perfectly safe waiting to start families until they were 40 years old. And this was a very well-educated group of women. So it just showed, a decade ago, the level of education that we needed to do. And part of the reason for that is that when there, so much of the education around fertility and reproduction is around how not to get pregnant and how to avoid STDs and things like that. It's not flipping it and talking about the positives of fertility and when you're most fertile and when the optimal time is to have your family and when your eggs are healthiest. So all that education needed to happen, and we've been hard at work on that over the last decade. And I think it just continues to be where our focus is, not only through the media, but also through women's primary care doctors, their OBGYNs and their internal medicine doctors, that they're probably seeing on an annual basis, and having those doctors be able to talk with the women about their biological clocks, about fertility, and about this new option of egg freezing, I think is so important. And I think that we will see that conversation become standard of care over the next 5 years.
Great. I'd also like to touch on another barrier that I know is definitely present. If you can talk a little bit about the difference in the response to this process between men and women, and then also between generations as well.
I think egg freezing is a very personal thing. What I've generally found is that 20% of women think this is a no-brainer. Why wouldn't you freeze your eggs? Another 20% of women don't want to do anything that isn't natural. They don't want to interfere with Mother Nature. They want to sort of let life happen as it happens, and rather than taking it into their own hands. And then there's sort of that middle 60% that is sort of may or may not be persuaded to freeze their eggs. And so that's what I would sort of say is the starting point. I think when I first started Extend, I was actually amazed by the pushback I received from sort of the establishment within the fertility industry, who took a very paternalistic view towards egg freezing. And what I mean by that is that I felt like it was very important for women to understand about their biological clock and understand about this new option available. But there was from the old guard, I should say, there was a negative reaction to this, where they felt like women might just freeze their eggs and ignore having a child until they're in their mid-40s and then be devastated if the frozen eggs don't work for them.
Mm-hmm.
And I sort of disagreed with this point of view, because I feel like what women need is all the information, and women can make the right decision if given all the information. And they need to realize it's not 100% guarantee, and they need to live their lives according to that. And we can't hold back science or hold back choices for women just because we think they may get let down.
Awesome.
And so that's sort of the, I guess, the difference. And I think that is starting to dissipate now.
We definitely love that. And when we get back from our next break, Christy, we'll be talking about the big picture of what egg freezing means to this nation and just as a society and as a whole. But for right now, we are going to take another break. Once again, I'm your host, Michelle Jaffe, and you're listening to Women Investing in Women and Girls. Stay tuned.
What about the world concerns you? Is it future success? Is it world issues? Are you just looking to change the world in general? Tune in to What Up World. It doesn't matter who you are, where you come from, or what you look like. Everyone is entitled to the same chance for success. Follow your dreams. Move forward. Make a difference. Tune in to What Up World every Friday at 2 p.m. Pacific Time, 5 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Kids channel.
We don't care how you got here. We're just glad you showed up. You're listening to Voice America Kids.
You're listening to Voice America Kids. Real kids, real talk radio.
You are listening to Women Investing in Women and Girls. Be sure to join in the discussion by tweeting us at hashtag Women Invest or on Facebook at Women Investing in Women. We want to hear what you have to say. Now, back to the program.
Welcome back to Women Investing in Women and Girls. Once again, I'm your host, Michelle Jaffe, and we are continuing our conversation, now joined by Anu Bardwaj of Women Investing in Women Institute, and our guest, Mrs. Christy Jones of Extend Fertility. And Christy, for the last part of our discussion, I'd like to talk about the big picture of what this means to women in general. And I'd love to know from you how you think this empowers women, both in their families and on a corporate aspect as well through their work.
Well, I think that egg freezing is the most revolutionary thing to happen in women's reproductive health since the advent of the birth control pill in the 70s. So it is a huge option for women to take their fertility into their own hands and in their own control. And I think there's so much pressure on women to have it all. Women are, as we talked about earlier, pursuing advanced degrees, running companies. More and more women are in becoming doctors, lawyers, and we're, I think, now the majority in the medical field, for example. And doing that and finding the right partner and having your family when you're supposed to have it puts a lot of pressure and stress on women. So egg freezing was really about, it gives women a sense of empowerment. They can, they may be able to do everything they want to do on the right timetable. But in case they don't, egg freezing provides that option that takes a little bit of the pressure off to get it all done in the perfect time frame.
Go ahead.
Well, and what that means in the workplace as well is by taking that stress off, I think it enables women to be more productive employees because they aren't worrying as you know, to such an extent about their personal lives and what may or may not be happening there.
Right, and to go off of that, do you think that this will also affect the number of women in high-level positions in their company?
I think that I think an investment in women that. Are you specifically asking for the companies that are paying for egg freezing?
Well, it just if the woman receives egg freezing, do you think that maybe they'll be encouraged to have a higher position in a company now that they have that freedom to choose?
Well, I think whether a woman decides to really go for the high-level position or not is more of a personal one. I think that egg freezing is something that will cultivate loyalty from employees. Women will seek out those companies that are providing those sorts of benefits. It will be seen as a female-friendly workplace. And as I said, it will also help those women become more productive employees because it will take some of the stress and pressure off other aspects of their lives. But in general, I believe that it's a very personal decision as to women who may choose to, you know, prioritize their career and go for those high-level positions and ones that choose to stay at home. I don't think they're, unlike Sheryl Sandberg would, you know, lean in. I think women are leaning in different ways, some in the home front, some in the workplace. But and that's a very personal choice. Mm-hmm. But I do think that egg freezing gives women the opportunity to make that choice.
Awesome. And I'd also like to ask you, do you think that this discussion needs to involve younger girls as well? I'm personally only 17, but I think that to start the conversation off as early as possible is important. So what's your opinion on that?
Oh, I definitely agree. You're never too young to get educated. And so much as we talked about, so much of the education is around how to prevent pregnancy. And we do need to shine a little bit more light on how you can become pregnant when you're ready to. And I think when you're in your teens and going into your 20s, you aren't really aware that things are, you think everything is going to be possible. You're going to be, disappointments aren't, you haven't really had to make real trade-offs in life yet or have doors close. And women don't really start to see that until their 30s. But I think it is important to begin that education process at a younger age so women can be proactive.
Michelle, have you been talking to your peers and family about this conversation?
Well, it's definitely a controversial subject, but I think that to have that communication going is part of that education. Because with the resources of internet out there, it's so easy for the younger generations to research and see what it's all about. And sometimes the older generations, like your parents, they don't know as much about it. Like we discussed earlier, the age for women getting married and for them to have children is increasing. So when girls and teenagers and young women look at this stuff now, then they'll be more prepared for their future. And if they do want to attain that higher position, then they'll know that they can wait on having a kid and they can prioritize their life and try to seek out that higher position job. So I think that the whole communication idea is extremely important with this subject as well. And Chrissy, also, do you think that this is leveling the playing field with having children? Men, they can have young children, and sometimes the mother is the one that typically stays home and doesn't, and has to quit her job to support the child. So do you think that having the option of egg freezing levels the playing field?
Well, I think we're already starting to see the playing field leveled. We're seeing a lot more stay-at-home dads, and we're seeing a lot more companies offer things like paternity leave in addition to maternity leave. So we are starting to see that shift. And I definitely think that egg freezing levels the playing field in terms of the timing of when we have children. With men, sperm are very hardy, and men can father children up until a very advanced age. And with women, that's not the case. But with egg freezing, you are sort of disconnecting the age of the egg and the age of the mother. One thing we didn't talk about earlier that is one of those education facts that a lot of women aren't aware of is that the uterus is pretty ageless. And that's why you see these celebrity stories or extreme stories where you see women in their 60s or 50s having children. And the reason that that is possible is that those women are using an egg from a donor. There are about 10 to 15,000 cycles every year where a woman is buying an egg from a younger donor and fertilizing that egg with her partner's sperm, and then the older woman is actually carrying that pregnancy to term. And it's really all about the egg, much more than, certainly pregnancy does take more of a toll on your body after age 40. There's some other health issues. But in general, the Society of Reproductive Medicine feels that up until early to mid-50s, depending on the woman, a woman is very capable of having a successful pregnancy as long as she's using a younger egg.
So, Chrissy, we have about 185,000 Facebook followers now, and 60% of those followers are young women and girls between the ages of 13 to 35, and 40% are young men and boys between the ages of 13 to 35. What could we be doing to help you get the message out, and do you have resources that you'd like to share with our broader audiences?
Well, that's fantastic, and education is paramount here, and our website, extendfertility.com, is a great source of information around the development of egg freezing, around what's involved in the process, and the best places to freeze eggs in the United States. So that would certainly be a great source. And having interviews like this and when there's media coverage of things related to egg freezing, bringing that to your subscribers' base attention would be fantastic.
Wonderful.
We'll definitely follow up on that. Christy, thank you so much for being a part of our program. And I think just to have, like you said, this word out there on egg freezing is incredibly important to all of our listeners. And we do want to hear from all of you listening what you think about this process and your opinion on it. Go to facebook.com/womeninvesting and be part of our very, very many followers to share their experiences and see what they think of what we are talking about today. Also go to at Twitter and use #WomenInvest and #GirlsInvest. And once again, Christy, thank you. Christy Jones from Extend Fertility. And once again, thank you to all of our listeners for listening. You've been listening to Women Investing in Women and Girls. The show is produced by Kidstar Radio for the Voice America Kids Network. And Kidstar Radio, we empower kids.
Thank you for joining us today. Your hosts will be back next Friday at 3 p.m. Eastern Time, noon Pacific Time, for another edition of Women Investing in Women and Girls on the Voice America Kids channel. We'll talk then.
My name is Lindsay Marie from Bookworm. Now from the Kidstar Upload of the Month, here is the Wish Pops and their song, Blue Wave.
From the Kidstar album of the month.